Would you turn your Bible to Acts chapter 21, verse 37, please? Acts chapter 21, verse 37. Do you remember a time when you were a little baby in Christ and you can barely tell the difference between the Gospel of John and the First John? And now you start, at the time you could find where the First John is located. One thing for sure, you were very excited about your newfound faith in Jesus Christ. You may remember that time. Everything just makes sense, and the Bibles come alive in your heart. Your heart was filled with joy and hope. Then out of blue, somebody who was rather hostile to the Christianity asked you this question. If God is so real, God is so good, why the world is filled with so much violence? And you have no idea how to answer that. And how are you, and then they push you. And they said, how are you going to explain that? And then another person come along and they said, do you actually believe that there is a God? I don't see him. I don't hear his voice. And again, you don't know how to answer that. That is because you don't know enough. You don't have enough understanding of Christianity. And you don't know the Bible. But you do know, you did know that you were no longer the same person a week before you were saved. So you start to tell them about your personal conversion, how Jesus changed your life from that hopelessness, from loneliness, from guilt. And you start to speak to them your personal testimony. All of a sudden, that hostile person is silent. And they listen. That is the similar situation where the Apostle Paul found himself about 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. He was in the temple, participating in the day of Pentecost, week-long day Pentecost feast. And he was almost at the end of Pentecost, and he minding his own business. And there were some Jews from Asia found him in the temple. They accused him and instigated a riot. Because they hate him so much, they want him to be dead once and for all. And the riot, people who were involved in the riot, that this angry mob started to hurt him, they beat him with their hateful fist and hand and the feet. And they actually don't know why they are doing that. I strongly believe that the Lord has a special instruction for us today. Especially those who don't know how to defend what you believe. You may know about a few things in Christianity, but you've never been taught how to testify, how to give a testimony, how to make a defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's open our heart to receive his instruction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, a lot of times we have the vague concept of Christianity because either we didn't study or we were not taught. Father, we are asking you to speak to our heart. We don't want to remain in that ignorance stage. But we want to know how to defend our faith in Jesus Christ. We don't want to just say, because I believe. But rather, because Jesus Christ is real in this way or that way. Father, teach us. Our hearts open to receive your instruction. Father, we are asking your anointing to be upon our heart that we may clearly understand your instruction and anointing upon the one who speaks. And please forgive our sins. Father, we also pray for the President Obama. You speak to him that he may come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord and have a right understanding why we are here on this earth. And we also pray for our troops around the world, especially the one in the harm's way, and the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 37 of chapter 21 in the book of Acts, please. Then, as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, "May I speak to you?" He replied, "Can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up the rebellion and led the 4,000 assassins out into the wilderness?" But Paul said, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. I implore you, permit me to speak to the people." So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand to the people, where there was a great silence. When there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense." Note that word, that particular word, defense, "before you now." And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. The commander, Claudius, thought that Paul was an Egyptian renegade who caused trouble several years ago and got caught here. And he was surprised that he was speaking in fluent Greek. Once Paul got the permission from the commander to speak to the people, and he started to speak in Aramaic, he switched from Greek language to Aramaic, which is a native tongue for the Jewish people in Palestine. This was the opportunity that Paul had been waiting for a lifetime. And he wanted the Jewish people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, just like he did. It was time that he's been waiting. Paul gave his magnificent defense. He actually used the word defense in verse 1. I asked you to notice that. The Greek word for the defense is apologia, from which we get the word apologetic. It refers to a branch of theology of the defense of Christianity. We'll talk more about that a little later. You see, from verse 3 to 21 is Paul going through his own encounter with Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. And that's his personal testimony. One of the most powerful witnesses you can give to a person is the testimony of your own personal experience with Jesus Christ. They might try to ignore the existence and the presence of God, and they may insist on their own interpretation of the Bible, but they cannot ignore or they cannot deny how God changed you from inside. Please consider five suggestions I'm about to make when you about to give a testimony. This is very important. Please pay attention. Number one suggestion, you want to be listened to. So be interesting, not boring. There are some people make everything boring when they speak, especially my math teacher and in junior high. It was a contradiction to talk about how exciting Christian life is, really is, and in a very uninteresting and boring way. Remember to guard against the religious cliche and the jargon and the hard-to-understand terminology. Giving testimony is not showing off your intelligence in Christ. Don't come up with all this Christian jargon. Your testimony to be lengthy. Have you listened to somebody's testimony go on and on and on, and the cobwebs start to come into your brain? It's like, when this thing's going to be over, make it within 10 minutes. Okay? Make it within 10 minutes. Second suggestion. You want to be understood, so be logical. Think of your salvation in three phases, construct your testimony accordingly. A, before you were born again. Struggle within, the loneliness, lack of peace, absence of love, unrest, and fear. You can all relate with this, right? I can. What was before? And the second step is the decision that revolutionized your life. You made that particular decision. How did you make that decision? What brought into that decision? Third step, the change. So before, how you made the decision, and after. The change, the difference that it made since you received Jesus Christ. Let me say this to you. I said this before, but I'm going to say it again. If your life as a born-again Christian has no change as before you were born again, you have to wonder if your conversion is real or not. Your life will definitely be changed for the better. Third suggestion. You want the moment of your new birth to be clear, so be specific. Don't be vague. Don't say, oh yeah, I got saved, that's it. It's more than that. Speak of Christ, not the church. Speak of faith, not the feeling. Be simple and direct as you describe what you did and what you prayed and what you said. This is very crucial. Fourth suggestion. You want your testimony to focus on Jesus, not your past. Some Christians think that they should let others know how horrible they were before they got saved. So they concoct all this horrible horror story before they were Christian. Nobody wants to know what you were before. They want to know how God changed you. So focus on Jesus Christ. Brief description of your past will do. Don't go into nitty-gritty detail. Just say, I was a horrible sinner. Stop. And Jesus changed me in this way. Focus on how Jesus changed your life. Fifth suggestion. You want your testimony to produce result. So be warm and genuine. You know, smile really break the barrier. It's a whole lot better than hammer blow facts. And let your enthusiasm flow freely. It's hard to convince somebody that you are full of joy and full of hope in your heart when you have the face of a jail warden. Or do you just drank a gallon of lemon juice? I don't know why some Christians think that they have to have this mouth drooping each corner like this and have to be solemn. No. In Jesus Christ, we are joyful. Amen? Amen. See, no one, and by the way, this is another important thing. Don't ever, ever try to get into argument. Because I've never seen anyone would arm wrestle by argument and end up in heaven. You cannot bring somebody with an argument to heaven. No persuasive technique will ever take a place of your personal testimony. If you have not discovered the value of telling someone about how Jesus Christ changed your life, you miss the vital link in God's plan that reach out to the lost through you. It is very important. We are not going to go over from verse 3 all the way to the chapter 22, verse 20, because we already went over that in chapter 9. It's a pretty much repeat of what Apostle Paul went through in chapter 9. So we are not going to go there, but we're going to pick it up from the verse 21 of chapter 22, please. Then he said to me, "Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentile." God speaking to Paul, but this is when God spoke to him when he was in temple many years ago. And Paul is telling Jewish people about this. Verse 22. They listened to him until this word. And get this. Then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live." Why did they say that? One word. To Gentiles. Gentiles. That's all. And then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air. It all took one word, Gentile, flashlight, and a red light flashed and a siren buzzed. These nationalistic Jews have nothing to do with the Gentiles. And see, they want the blood of Paul. They don't care how they get it. They want him dead. This Jewish mob was outraged. They thought that God's salvation could be given to Gentiles freely. Here's a very important thing we can learn from here. Because we can fall into the same trap. Spiritual elitism. Let me say one more time. Spiritual elitism. Let's not ever think that we became a children of God by our own merit. By our own good behavior. We had nothing to make that prestigious list of God. Purely by grace, mercy, and the love of God. Lord Jesus extend his scepter toward us, and so that we became a Christian, the follower of Jesus Christ. And one more thing, let's not ever forget where we came from. Remember the place where we came from? The bottomless pit of the hopelessness and spiritual tumult and confusion. In vain self-righteousness and self-importance that only furthered our longing for someone. And that led to the loneliness and despair. But out of heaven, God graciously reached down to the bottomless pit of our heart. And he grabbed our filthy hands and pulled us out from that pit and set us on the top of the solid rock that is immovable. That's Jesus Christ. And then he draped us with his righteousness and holiness and washed us washed our filthiness with the blood of the Lamb. Listen to me, please. Remind yourself, it is not by us, it is by him. Amen. So how can we look down on other people, people who are involved in the cult, occult, even homosexuality, and any other ungodly lifestyle? Don't we remember that we were amongst them? Don't we remember that we were sinners? Don't we remember that we were hanging around with them? Yes, we were. How can we not tell them about Jesus Christ who saved us? Don't we want them to be saved as well? Remember what I always tell them? There's something better than going to heaven. What is it? Taking someone with you. Exactly. What I'm about to teach you will give a good reason for you to know how to defend your faith in Christ, that is apologetics, when you are asked by unbelievers so that they too can be lifted up out of their pit by the God's grace. And you're thinking, are you talking about theology? Yes, but this is a good theology. It's a practical theology. Here's the number one reason why we should know the apologetic. Because we are commanded to defend our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is kind of new, right? Yeah, it is true. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's read verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give the defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with the meekness and fear. That means humility. Not with a cocky attitude. Not spiritual elitism. Second reason why we shouldn't know the apologetic is because it helps a Christian to know their faith. This is something that is desperately lacking among the believers. Most don't know how to describe two natures of Christ. And you say, he has a split personality? No. He has a divine nature as well as a complete human nature. And they cannot, the majority of people cannot tell the difference between justification and sanctification. Apologetic helps to define and defend what the truth of gospel is and Christianity. Third reason why we shouldn't know the apologetic is because apologetic is an attempt to keep the people out of hell. God takes sin very seriously. Do you agree? Don't ever think that God just wink at it. Boys must be boys. Girls must be girls. Pat them on their back and don't do it anymore. It doesn't work that way. God deals with the sin. That's why Jesus died on the cross. And he will punish those who are not saved by their own choice. As a Christian, we should be motivated by the presence to present the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ to them. We should not sit idly by and ignore the dilemma of the unbelievers. We need not only defend God's word and the truth, but also present the gospel to all people so that they can escape the judgment to come as well, like us. Let me make a dramatic illustration. Let's say you're walking down the street. Somebody's he ran out of gas. Volkswagen. How can you run out of gas? But they managed to do that. They're putting the gas into the car. And they were dumb enough. This guy is dumb enough. While he's putting the gas in his car, he lit up the cigarette. And then you're looking at, are you that stupid? Wouldn't you know? All of a sudden, fire set on him. Would you let him burn? I say, wow, that's a good torch. Would that be a third alarm or fourth alarm? No, you try to help him. Whatever you can. What if you saw the baby inside a house and the house is burning? Would you go in? Many of us will. If you know unbelievers is heading to hell, why would you not help them? Why would you not tell them about the way of salvation? Fourth reason why we shouldn't know about the apologetic is because we need to counter the bad image of Christianity has received in the media and the culture. There was time, every other day, we find out that some televangelist involved with the sexually and monetarily, and disgraced in the name of Christ, and Catholic Church is the molestation by this priest didn't help a whole lot. On top of that, media, in case you didn't know, are extremely biased against Christianity alone. For all the other religions, they are cordial. Especially Muslim, they go out of their way to make it comfortable for them. And you see negative opinions of Christianity promoted everywhere. How are you going to confront them? How are you going to speak to them if you don't know the apologetics? Fifth reason why we shouldn't know about the apologetic is because there is a constant threat of apostasy in Christian church. Such as the case many mainline denominations which openly advocate the support of homosexuality in violation of a scripture. Romans chapter 1, 18 through 32. Listen to me, please. As of 2002, Evangelical Lutheran Church is at risk of apostasy by entertaining the idea of accepting homosexual relationship into the church, their church. And United Church of Christ has set a $500,000 scholarship for the gays and lesbians who are attending their seminary. In other words, they want those people to be their pastors. They rather embrace the latest social trend over the truth of the Word of God. That is apostasy of the church we see around us. Do you agree? If you're looking for our church to do change our heart, our attitude toward the homosexual, over my dead body. Even the next pastor will not do that. How do I know? Because I already set him up. If he's trying to have a different idea, I'll just shoot him. Put him out of misery. Are we recording still? Yes. Sixth reason why we should learn the apologetic is because there are many false teachings out there. There are many false teachings out there. Let me give you a few examples. Mormons teaches that God used to be a man on another world. And he brought one of his goddess wives, there's a polygamy, and with him to this world. And they produced a spirit offspring. They came into the form of baby, human baby. And now you have a potential to be becoming a little g gods of your own world. Get that? And Jehovah's Witness teaches that there is no Trinity. And Jesus was the Michael, the archangel. And there is no hell, and there is only 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses will go to heaven. Another example, atheism. Atheism denies that God exists and openly attacks Christianity and is gaining ground in public life and schools. We are hearing this every day. On the spearhead of this attack is the ACLU. Islam. Islam teaches, by the way, Islam is not peaceable religion, in case you haven't noticed. Somebody tried to put me on the target, by all means. This Islam teaches that Jesus was not God in flesh, that Jesus did not rise from the dead, and that he did not atone for our sins. It teaches that salvation is partly based on the one's work and Allah's grace. It teaches that the Holy Spirit is an angel Gabriel, according to Quran, book Surah chapter 2 verse 97, chapter 16, 102. You can actually verify this. And the Muhammad was greater than Jesus. In pig's eyes. I meant that. Listen. Within the Christian church there are false teachings. And we can see it from both within the Christian church and outside of it. False teachings are bombarding believers and non-believers alike all over the world. That's why we need to know how to defend our own faith. Do you see the importance here? Seventh reason, because rise of immorality in America is a threat not only to society but also to Christianity. This is a serious issue because immoral society cannot last long. And Barna research groups and statistics show that 64% of adults and 83% of teenagers said moral truths depend on the situation you are in. In other words, relative truth. We talked about this lengthily. And the 19% of adult population believe that the whole idea of sin is outdated. You know, Joel Osteen, pastor of the biggest church in America, has a 40,000 congregation. He never talked about sin in any of his sermon, and he's proud of it. He just smiled at people and said everything is good and hunky-dory. Probably he doesn't use hunky-dory. He's not redneck enough. Do you know that is a heresy? If you are watching Joel Osteen's TV program, stop. You're putting the garbage into your head. He's not teaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Full counsel. Eighth reason why we should learn the apologetics is because our schools are not friendly to Christianity, in case you didn't know this. Many school teachers were brainwashed by their college professors who were also against Christianity. Non-Christian schools adopt a sex education that promotes fornication, sex before marriage, and abortion, and homosexuality. And they do that as young as second grade. Now they're in California, of course, California, what do you expect? California, they try to study in preschool. And the history books are all rewritten to remove the Christian heritage from American histories. They are systematically removing God out of our young people's mind. That's why our young people need to know how to defend the faith in Jesus Christ. The fact is that Christianity is under attack in the world, especially in America. And we need an apologetic to give a rational, intelligent, and relevant explanation of Christian viability to the critics and the prejudiced who would seek to undermine the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you may say, why you get so uptight about this thing? Because this book has a truth and they try to destroy the truth. If the person is not only saying that outside of this or leaving things out of this book, they are both false teachers. Have you ever heard the word sin of omission? There are a lot of pastors who would not teach what it says. They are causing sin of omission because they want to be liked. They want to be popular. Like a good example, as I mentioned, Joel Osteen. He doesn't talk about what is the truth. As a matter of fact, I spoke to a young lady whom I found out that she is living with this man. And I told her, you need to do what is right in the sight of God. Since then, I haven't seen her. They rather disobey God, continue living in sin, and be right with God. My heart breaks for them. Don't say I'm a Christian when you continuously, knowingly, you're trying to disobey God's word. One application. Present your subjective personal testimony and back it up with objective facts from the God's Word. In other words, now you have a solid first step of a Christian apologetics. If there ever time the apologetic is needed, is now. You agree? Get into your Bible. Do your daily devotion. If you open your Bible once in a blue moon, only time you open your Bible is coming when you come to Sunday morning or midweek service. How can you know this book? You cannot. One of the quick ways to learn the apologetic, read the book of Romans. There's a theology up to the guilt. Book of Romans. And if you have a hard time understanding, get online. Go to our church website, ccos.org. There's sermons. All the sermons I taught in the Book of Romans is there. You can download it as a PDF file. You can download it as an MP file. And you can watch on YouTube. And you may say, I don't like to look at your ugly face. That's fine. Just listen to it. Read the sermon note. Get yourself ready, please. That way you can rationally, intelligently defend your faith in Jesus Christ. Let's stand up and pray.